Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I don't know how we'll know this, but you would think the Secret Service would be on just the top of the line for whatever they can do to protect Trump in this situation. But I still have doubts about them. They're another organization that doesn't have the urgency. We've seen this. We've seen it in the testimony. So it's going to be interesting today, I believe. Are you watching it, Dan? There is like a bulletproof glass. I thought, is he still over top of that, though? Or are you going to see him through glass? Now, see, I don't know that the Trump people were on board with this. I guess they have to. I even resent this. You mean to say we can't protect the president where we got to put him in bulletproof glass in this situation? It looks like it would extend. That's up pretty high. Yeah. You see the part to the right? That's up pretty high where it would be over his head.
I think the best way to describe it is what it looks like is if you go to like a big church and they have a band, right. They have the drummer in that little glass booth to kind of dampen the sound. Or if you go to a concert, there's a drummer. That's kind of what it looks like Trump will be speaking inside of. But I'm assuming it's bulletproof glass.
It is. Well, it was said it's going to be bulletproof.
Wow.
But we're reduced to this where entirely the former president and could be president has to be inside bulletproof glass. So you can look at this and say, well, come on, Dom, we want all the mitt protection. That's the way it is. Or is this another sign that this is what the Secret Service is reduced to? Even with all the modern technology, all the other things that go in. Now, the Butler people, Butler PA, they're already, the locals are saying, hey, this is an outdoor thing. Trump coming in October when this will be at a fever pitch. We're going to have to publicly say to the Secret Service, we need coordination here. Really, this can't be like before. So the first outdoor rally since the assassination attempt, and what are we looking at here? We're looking at bulletproof glass, and I think Dan's right here. Some of it is a little bit lower, but the part where he's going to be speaking from looks to me like he'll be kind of encased in it. That's embarrassing. It really is that we're reduced to this. Now, will this continue? Who knows? I haven't seen any other public figure. I don't know if Walls Harris, well, I don't know if they're doing outdoor events. I guess they will. Is this going to be the standard now going forward with the Secret Service? President Trump will be pitching his national security plan. And I told you what I think. The single biggest thing that I put my finger on, if you can remember back, say, to 2015, so we're doing 9 years ago, when Trump came on the scene, there was a lot of debate. We were coming off the Bush years, Iraq, these unending wars, and Trump was different than the other Republicans, saying he wasn't going to engage in this. It wouldn't be unceasing. That's the way that it would be. That's a big difference. And witnessing it, Dan Crenshaw was one of the guys coming in. I'm in there with four other talk show hosts, one of whom Trump said to the woman host, Dan, that you know, Mary Walter, sit over here. This is the chair I put the dictators in. It was pretty funny in front of us. Then these guys come in and he goes, well, these guys are going to have to wait. I'm with the really important people, the talk show host here. And I'm going, oh, let me dive under the cap. Please, no. And there were like 40 of them suddenly crammed into the room, all coming. This is like 6 o'clock at night or something. All coming to try to convince Trump to put hundreds of more military people in harm's way in Syria. And he told them, you can talk, and I'm not doing it. With us right there in front of him.
That's fascinating.
He may have said to us at one point, I'm like, oh my God, what do you guys think? Oh God. Put him in there. No.
World-changing decisions, though.
And Dan Crenshaw there. And he says, we're the important guys. And Crenshaw is there right next to me, Dan, too, with the eye patch on. I remember there was like a lamp. I was standing there, and he was standing there. I was like, I'm cringing, you know?
Say RR, Captain.
Yeah. But this is the mark of Trump, a legacy here. And by projecting strength, by using other things behind the scenes, now, I don't like some of the stuff he says with Putin, but behind the scenes, it's a truism. Putin didn't invade then. Harris, what in the world has she said about national security? What would she do? And we're going to hear stuff that will be both vague, gibberish, and weak. You know that's what it's going to be, particularly with Iran. The idea of we can play ball with Iran. All right, 855-839-1210. We know Walls, how weak he is when it comes to China. And again, Trump doing this today in North Carolina, a lot of military, Fayetteville, places like that. She's not going to lay it out. She hasn't laid out any of that. The one disastrous last week was price fixing. What is Harris going to say? I know how they're going to picture it. Well, I'll be tough, but I'll be smart. Same thing as when she was DA. I'm a prosecutor. I know how to go after the bad guys of the world. Okay, let's hear how you're going to do that. Americans now, it's pretty clear to me, do not want military intervention. They're tired of what we've lost. They're tired of the roads that we've gone down. And Vance was there in advance of Trump today talking about the nuclear threat and how Trump has prevented any. The guy that they said had his finger on the button. No way. 855-839-1210 will get you on board. Also, the side question today, hit us with somebody you want to be the head of the CEO of your company. I forget how we happened on it, but we're getting some pretty good ones on Twitter. Really, the star thing today that we've, but I have to tip off, this is the best of talk radio. What they don't get about talk radio. We heard Dan distinguish in the way the media is not, that Walls is way overboard lying in saying that he had IVF treatment with his wife to produce two girls. Just not true. He had something completely different that is much more minor. We heard Eric, a dad who actually went through this, and we heard Richard, a doctor. So here we go again. And what does the media do? They try to jump into the ring, muddy the waters, and say, here go those Republicans again. They're besmirching this guy's military record. Yeah, it's Mike Walls is going to do that in about 15 minutes here, and it's legit. And now they don't understand how difficult it is to come out and talk about this, and they're going to besmirch his family in this matter. These people are just awful. You may have missed the top of the show, though. Before we do Dom's Money Melody, the money for me today, Dan, is cut 9A, and I wanted to make that point one more time when it comes to hypocrisy. Here's Mrs. Obama last night. And Dan, yes, usually I don't do this to Ro. We're both watching it together. Ro had to hear this point, and she conceded pretty quickly because she knew there was going to be no let up here. The worst points of people like Mrs. Obama, channeling her mother last night, she said the mom was suspicious of those who are greedy. They want too much money in their life. When is it enough? Leave some for somebody else. And then I'll give you some of the stats on the Obamas of their wealth. Here's what she told us last night, attacking Trump and attacking people who don't want to give back.
I wasn't even sure if I'd be steady enough to stand before you tonight, but my heart compelled me to be here because of the sense of duty that I feel to honor her memory and to remind us all not to squander the sacrifices our elders made to give us a better future. You see, my mom, in her steady, quiet way, lived out that striving sense of hope every single day of her life. She believed that all children, all people have value, that anyone can succeed if given the opportunity. She and my father didn't aspire to be wealthy. In fact, they were suspicious of folks who took more than they needed. They understood that it wasn't enough for their kids to thrive if everyone else around us was drowning.
All right, so I don't see many life preservers coming from the Obamas. More than they need. So the Obamas are worth, according to Forbes, several other sources today, in the neighborhood of $70 to $75 million. What we do know is they own three homes that are all valued at $10 million plus. Now, that's America. They parlayed, quote, public service career, presidency, and all that, big time, into all of this, books, Netflix, wide array of things, speeches, $250,000, $500,000 a speech. That's capitalism. It's great. Knock yourself out. So why? Who is it that has more than they need? Do the Obamas have more than they need? Do you think anybody is ever going to ask them that question? And I could see Obama particularly bristling. Michelle Obama, God knows what she would say. They're never going to be asked anything. They have license to continue on this path of lecturing people like Trump or any American and setting some kind of metric about what you need and giving back when they're worth $75 million in three homes. How much time do they actually, well, Phil Murphy over in Jersey is another example, lecturing. He's got a villa that he apparently in Italy is there 2 weeks a year, $7 million villa. Is that excessive? It's not for me to count. Springsteen in town tonight, the working class hero, $1.1 billion plus he has. Is that excessive? Might that ease some of the misery he talks about, these tank towns in Jersey? Any of these people, you lose the right. And Dan, your line was, if you have your private chef, then you got to shut up.
Yeah, if you have a private chef, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's...
No comment about paddle boards, just private chef.
Yeah, that's clear. Absolutely the case.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Too many places to cover, so is that going to be the rationale? 855-839-1210. There are two camps in this. Or three. Dan's angle that, yes, makes a political point that Trump was shot. We seem to have lost that. We still don't have the full report on any of this. Other angle. Well, better safe than sorry. Third angle, you mean to say, I mean, the crowd there doesn't look to be enormous, even if they are. Doesn't the Secret Service have the tools to do this? If they need other tools, we should be engaged in giving them that, right? I mean, if it is legitimate to protect these political figures, I'm on board with that. Trump also talking today what we've been talking about, the revised job numbers, Biden-Harris. March of 2023 to March of 2024, 818,000 down. In other words, they inflate the number by then, somehow or another, by 818,000. Is that just how these numbers work? No, I think it was inflated, to some degree at least. 818,000 difference in the jobs. And that's the thing they've been touting. That's the upside of what we've been getting, because they have no upside around inflation. All right, let's go to Robert in Bensalem. He's on Talk Radio 1210. Robert, afternoon.
Hey, Dom, Dan, it's good to talk to you guys. Real quick, you were mentioning that salt write-off on your federal taxes.
Yes.
It was capped at $10,000. Before that, it was $60,000.
Yep.
Okay, and it's basically, and I was debating somebody on this on the radio a couple nights ago, in fact. And when it was passed, New York had by far the biggest congressional delegation of all the states, because it was by far the most populous state. They brought in the most taxes, and they were able to put that into the tax code. But they don't have that pull anymore because their taxes and their regulations chased. You know, in the last 5 years, New York has lost $5 or $2 billion in tax revenue from people leaving because now they have to pay all of their taxes that their people in New York put on them. The guy tried to say Trump raised my taxes by getting rid of that. No, he didn't raise your. How does a president raise your state and local taxes? You deal with that in New York and stop making us subsidize it.
Yeah, so and closer to home, Jersey, same thing. Yeah, they do the same thing to people. Robert, too, well, listen, we need somebody to call in. I don't know if you're a smoker, but what does a pack of cigarettes or, heaven forbid, a carton of cigarettes cost in New York today? Oh, my God. I want somebody to tell us.
I think it was $16.50, but my brother just went to Canada to visit friends. $22 a pack up in Canada.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my God.
Every cigarette on the butt says this causes cancer. They have to do all of these things to the. It's just ridiculous, Tom.
But $22, if you're a chain smoker, an Eisenhower, somebody like that, right? Two packs a day, you're paying like $300 or $400 a week for cigarettes. My God.
And you're giving more of that money to the government than you are to the people making profit at the tobacco company. It's the same with gas. The government makes more money from a gallon of gas and a pack of cigarettes than the companies that make them products get.
That's good stuff. Good stuff, Robert. Who's your person to run the corporation?
Well, I was going to go. Oh, geez, I forgot his name, and it's a bad joke anyway, so I'll get right to my answer. I'm going to go with Elon Musk. I can't believe that nobody took him off the board yet.
That is a great one. He had a great thing up on Twitter, Dan. He said if the Harris price controls go through, you'll have long bread lines and ugly shoes. That's pretty good. 855-839-1210. By the way, I saw a pair of shoes that you like, you know, the ones you helped me try to find. We were in a Joseph A. Bank the other day. I don't know, $160. I was a little bit thinking that's a little bit over the line. I blame not inflation.
What was it for?
$160 shoes. You know, those ones that look like sneaker shoes.
Yeah, that's way too much.
Is it? Were yours?
Like 55.
There you go. Yeah. That's what I told Rob. She wanted to get two pairs.
You got to go to one of those discount stores.
All right. Mike Waltz, Congressman Waltz, next on a big National Security Day. He held a news conference today, but we'll talk about Waltz. We'll talk about all of it, what Trump is saying, too. Congressman Mike Waltz, who, of course, is a decorated Green Beret veteran and a retired colonel in the National Guard. The congressman joins us on a big day, the theme, National Security, here on Talk Radio 1210. Congressman, always an honor. Thank you so much on a day like this for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. And just to be clear with everyone, that's W-A-L-T-Z. That's T for Trump.
Well,
I did actually retire as a colonel. I did carry a weapon of war in an actual war.
You actually had a beard, too. I saw the beard in a picture, right?
And just to top it off, you know, I led a unit in the National Guard. I was the commander, and when we got called up, I actually went. So, just to make some important distinctions.
Well, feel free to use it. It was more my producer, but we're calling him the Great Walls of China for obvious reason that are involved here. But the president speaking today, and I know you did a conference on national security before we get more to Walls, about the nuclear threat, Third World War. Immediately, we're going to hear these are just fear tactics. Give us an idea what you said today about Biden-Harris and national security.
Well, you're seeing what the world looks like when our adversaries no longer respect or even fear who's in the White House. And so it all started with the original sin of the despicable, disgraceful, and incompetent withdrawal from Afghanistan. By the way, that was going on 3 years ago this week. You will not hear a single mention, not one, not only of Afghanistan, but of the 13 Gold Star families this week at the Democrat National Convention. And once the world saw that, Putin got the green light, Xi got the green light, and Iran, the Ayatollahs, got the green light. And now we have the largest land war in Europe since World War II. We have Americans sitting hostage in the tunnels of Gaza. We have Iran's terrorist proxies as it's flush with cash because Biden is placating and appeasing Iran, launching its ring of fire around Israel, shutting down international shipping in the Suez Canal. China's increasingly threatening Its neighbors, don't forget the spy balloon that hovered over our most sensitive nuclear sites for days on end. And all of that, to top it all off and make you all want to drink a little bit more, a wide open southern border, and the media is already whitewashing that it was just a couple of months ago we had 8 ISIS operatives rolled up in 3 different cities that had come across our southern border as they were casing sites to hit on the anniversary of the Pulse nightclub attack from back in 2016, which happened then under Obama. So this is, what's amazing about the DNC where I am now is they're trying to pretend like this is day one of Harris. No, this is year 4. Of Biden and Harris, and she has been thumping her chest and bragging that she was the last person in the room before Joe made these big decisions. Well, you own it now, sister. First and foremost, though, as we have the anniversary of the Abbey Gate bombing, the suicide bombing that took our 13 service members coming up this Monday, and what a disgrace and what a disservice to those families.
Without a doubt. Now, with Walls, you've kind of, just by your presence, pushed back effectively on this guy and what he has a habit of engaging in. But the China stuff is both bizarre and possibly creepy, but also incredibly serious when it comes to having a guy a heartbeat from the presidency saying they may not even be an adversary.
No, that's right. And Walls is the poster child for that old thinking that frankly was around on both sides of the aisle for a long time in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and even the 2000s, that if we just kind of engage with them economically, if we're nice enough, that we share a lot of our technologies, we invest in them and allow them to invest in us, then they'll be good, responsible partners and actors, maybe competitors a little bit. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. They have stolen our technology. They've stolen our IP. We've got greed in Wall Street investing not only in their economy, but in their defense industry, of all things, that our future soldiers and sailors are going to have to deal with. And by the way, as they buy up our food supply, our farmland, our pharmaceuticals, they plan to use all of it as leverage against us if we ever disagree with them. And don't take that from me as some kind of China hawk. Just listen to the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping, talk about it in his own words as he's telling his country to prepare for war, and he's talking about the decline of the United States and how he's going to replace free market capitalism with socialism with Chinese characteristics, is what he calls it, which is a techno-surveillance state over rebranded communism. And then you layer that, not only Walls, did he for profit take dozens and dozens of trips and won't even describe him as an adversary, you've got Comrade Kamala talking about price controls right out of Hugo Chavez and Maduro, in Venezuela's playbook, which has ruined what once was the most prosperous country in South America. We're watching this in real time, guys. I mean, this is happening, and we're 70 days away from making this decision with a media that just is obsessed with creating more of a feel-good movie. We're watching the pep rally happen here in Chicago than really talking about these issues, these problems, these threats, and who's best positioned to deal with it.
Yeah, I hope that, again, you know this, that national security and things of that nature usually get short shrift anymore in these presidential races. Not sure why the media drives that, but particularly with Harris, other than the Biden baggage she's involved in, we don't have any sense. My only sense of her is that she's an enemy of Israel. That's the sense that I get.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, she's going to throw out the throwaway line of, Israel has a right to defend itself. But what was her first act as the presumptive nominee? To boycott the prime minister of Israel's address to Congress, to leave that chair empty. What was her second act? To chastise him on the international stage during his sit down with her. And what does Iran and China and Russia see? They see the more daylight they and these terrorist organizations see between the United States and Israel on the global stage, the more emboldened that they are. So I do think what is clear, despite the fact she won't sit down for an interview with anyone, is that this appeasement first, concessions first approach will continue. What is also clear is that their number one priority with China is not going to be containing, competing, defeating. It's going to be it's going to be climate change, which they are going to use to their advantage all day long. So I think a number of things are clear. The wide open border will certainly continue. And this is year four for Harris, not day one.
Parting question for you. You were in Chicago, DNC, observing this. What did you think last night? Mrs. Obama particularly set me off on the wealth inequality issue, and they have three homes that are $10 million plus. God bless. But how do you get to lecture continuously? I'm sure it frustrates you. You're a no-nonsense guy. Let's debate the policy. Well, how do you have $75 million and you lecture Mike Waltz and Dom Giordano about income inequality?
Yeah, that's right. Or, this kind of sneering mocking about, quote, black jobs. Well, look, the data is clear. The majority of jobs that African Americans fill are in hospitality or in retail or in food service or kind of, delivery or manual type jobs. Well, what is right? What we're seeing for illegal immigrants take, and you hear this from people on the street and from business owners, are those types of jobs. So don't try to play the race card with that. There is real economic disruption going on with 20 million people flowing in. And when you see these migrants at their schools, when you see them at the community centers, and when you see them taking those types of jobs, that's why I think you've seen black men in particular coming over to the Trump campaign. But just, they're just playing those kinds of cards. And what they did, which I think they accomplished their mission, was to try to draw a wall between Biden and sent him off packing in the middle of the night, no doubt, and try to hit the reset button with Kamala and with the rah-rah fest that we're seeing.
Yeah, exactly.
They engineered this political coup. And last night was part and parcel for it. And by the way, Trump has been mentioned over 100 times. Any of those other issues, economy, inflation, border, crime, single digits. This isn't serious. It's not. This is fake.
Congressman, thank you. Thanks for your service on so many fronts. And you are top notch to be on the Trump campaign. I'd love to see a debate with you and the other walls.
I'll leave that to JD, and I have confidence in that Marine to point out how liberal he is and the fact that he just nothing against his service. I have everything against him lying about it.
Exactly. Thank you, Congressman, very much as
All
always.
Right.
Congressman,
thank you.
Mike Walls here on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.